Dear brothers and sisters, this is a parable that is quite known by many people. Actually was used, I think, just about a week ago where there was a car accident and a bunch of people quickly ran out and together lifted the car and saved this, I think, is a man and a woman in the car. And in the article it said, man and woman saved by good Samaritans. So what should we take from this parable that Jesus answers this scholar's question of who's my neighbor? What is the deeper realm of this reality? So we have a very practical parable. Usually the parables that Jesus used, heaven is like a mustard seed which is planted and grows into a large bush. So does that mean we're supposed to go and plant mustard seeds all over to grow mustard bushes? This one is directly applicable. When we see somebody in need, we go and care for them. So it's a very direct a story that can be applied to our reality. We might not be on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, but there's plenty of roads that we're on that there's people that need help. Are we like the priest said, if I go and help him or touch him and he's dead, I won't be able to participate in the temple rituals. So out of piety, for piety's sake, he avoids him. Then the Levite comes. And the Levite knows that on this road, oftentimes they set traps to catch us, and sometimes they use a person acting like they're wounded. And so he says, well, I don't want that to happen to me, so I'm going to go on the other side. You notice their reason for not helping in both cases is self-focused. It's about what's better for them than what's better for that person. And so it's self-focused decisions. Now you might say that they're reasonable and seem not to be, they seem logical. And we might make those same questions. How about asking a question and maybe a real experience that you've had driving by Walmart or one of the stores and there's somebody there with a sign asking for handouts? You do what I do sometimes and say, well, that's their own fault. They should get a job. There's a lot of jobs. We judge them, right? That's what often happens. The Levite could have said, well, this dummy should have known better than to be traveling on this road at this time. He should have had somebody with him. It's his own fault. We can just imply those things. But I think it's something that the Lord wants us to reflect on. Do we help others the way we would want to be helped? Do we give of ourselves? And the Good Samaritan is the image of God, right? We were half dead along the roadside. We didn't have the sacraments of the church. We didn't have the grace of Christ to help us. So what does he do? He sees us in that situation and comes and heals us, cares for us, loves us, and then gives extra in case we need more. So it's also an image of what the church is. The church is the place that half-dead people are to come to. And to receive new life in reconciliation, to be nourished by the gift of God himself in the Eucharist. We come knowing that we are the victims that are in need of healing, in need of gentleness. And the church is that place where we are to receive that. And the church is us. We make up the church. This is St. John's church building, but it's not the church when we say church. The church is all the members, you and I, that we are to be these instruments of God's help to broken, wounded humanity. Now, are there times that we need to act in love to those who are in need? Yeah. Are there times that we might offer counsel to help them in their situation? Absolutely. But I dare say most of us fall in the realm of the priest and the Levite. And just drive by and not look at him. Maybe he won't notice that I was focused on myself. I've done that before. I did make a choice when I was in seminary. I often made long trips in a big car. And whenever I drove by a hitchhiker one time and I said, "Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore." And many people said, "Well, they could attack you. You're putting yourself at risk." I'm like, they're way more at risk than I am. I'm the one with the car. I had some interesting conversations over my years in seminary and college with people that were just trying to get from point A to point B, and they needed to depend upon the generosity of somebody giving them a ride. At one time, picked up a young woman who couldn't speak. She was mute. She had to write out where she was going. And I picked her up in northern Minnesota, and I was going as far south as Fargo. She was on her way to Iowa or Nebraska somewhere. And she looked like she hadn't had rest. I intimated to her that I said, "Look, it's comfortable car, you can sleep, I'll stop, I'll wake you up." And she's like, "Oh, no. She didn't want to risk that. But she did fall asleep. And when I got to Fargo, I woke her up. She got out of the car and I watched in my rearview mirror as I left. She sat down in the ditch and put her head in her hands. I worried that by falling asleep, I could have done something to her. I hope it was a Thanksgiving for somebody generously giving her a ride. But we take a risk to help people, a risk of maybe caring about someone, a risk of being taken advantage of. The Lord doesn't mention any of that. He simply says, who treated the robber's victim as a neighbor, the one who cared for him? Brothers and sisters, most of us could see ourselves as the victim, half dead, wounded, hurt by words, hurt by things. And the Lord wants us to know that he cares for us. That's why he gives us the sacraments. That's why he calls us to love each other as they are, not to judge others and then determine whether we're going to help them. So I invite you to really pray with this reading. And we can find ourselves in every situation. We're the one that is wounded in need of help. We're the ones that go by on the other side. We're the ones that at times stop and help others. And so I ask you to take your own experience and say, which one made us feel more alive and more like God? Was it when we walked by and made an excuse or a judgment? Was it when we were sitting there wounded, needing somebody to care for us? Or was it when we made a choice to help the other in need? This is where we feel fully alive, because this is where we're doing what God has asked us to do, and we are behaving like him, who came to our aid as humanity, and who came to our aid at our baptism and in the sacrament of reconciliation. And we're sent away from the sacrament, go in peace. But we could probably use Jesus' statement, go and do the same. Go forgive others. Go love others as they are in their brokenness. This is the call of the Christian. And we can't do it on our own. We need God to help us. And yes, we take risks. We need to be prudent. There's a couple times I didn't pick up people because I thought they looked a little dangerous. But never have I been worried when I've picked anyone up. They were simply trying to get from point A to point B. And they risked their necks. There were some that I asked that were picked up and were in dire straits, threatened. Now, this homily isn't about you got to pick up hitchhikers. This story is about loving the other and being an instrument of Christ to them by being kind. And to stop simply focusing on ourselves when we find a situation or someone in need and ask, how can we do and be like Christ has asked us to be, neighbor to one another? He gives us his life to help us do that. So let us, brothers and sisters, be confident in God's goodness, his love, and his care for us that is meant to be shared with others.